growing up. It's called Arlington Country Club. My best friend was a member there, he and his family, and I never was. You kind of knew that if you were a member at the country club, you probably didn't go to the public school, you were over at the private school in town. And or your parents worked for Eastern Kentucky University because they got a discount into the country club. I have vivid memories of calling my best friend, hey, what are you doing today? Oh, I'm over at Arlington. Knew I couldn't go. I don't think we could have afforded it. Maybe we could have, and they chose not to. It was never something that was on my parents' radar. I was a member at the Y. You know, that was a great place for me. They had a sauna and a steam room, like free water and fruit every now and then. It was pretty cool. But it wasn't the country club. This is an aerial shot of a country club that I don't think anybody could afford to be a part of. I don't know if you have a similar experience as that, but I remember thinking what it must have been like on the inside. Sometimes you can sneak onto those places and just take a peek. And the golf course I really wanted to play, you could just kind of come in as a guest. Well, you couldn't at this place. If you weren't a member or you were not with a member, and even if you were with a member, you had to pay a price that I just wasn't willing to pay and couldn't pay as a middle schooler and a high schooler. And so I always wondered what it was like on the inside as a part of that group. And it was always a mystery to me. They did a really good job of keeping people out and only letting those members in. Well, that was the country club. Let me shift to another period of history. This is a sketched image of one of the early colonies here. They weren't on a place that they owned for themselves, but they saw a land and built on it. As a matter of fact, they fled their hometown to go to this new place for future hope and promise. And the perspective of having something better there than you would have back home. Almost like they were aliens, foreigners on foreign soil. But they did the best they had with what was around them. They made the best of their circumstances and they worked hard. And when other people came, what did? They welcomed them in. They brought them in. They put them to work. And people were willing to work and willing to sacrifice and willing to share and willing to go out on faith and hope that there was a better land with better promise and better future. You put those two together, the country club versus the colony. I think in the church, we adopt the mentality of one or the other. We either are the country club mentality, where we're real good at keeping people out and only letting members in, where we're good at having blessings for those who have paid the fees, but are restrictive to those who haven't. We're good at being an elitist group that look alike, think alike, and talk alike, or the colony. The kingdom colony. The Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven colony. Knowing we don't belong, that we're aliens and we're strangers and we're foreigners on foreign land. But we're given this land to work and to use. And with the best of our abilities, we work hard for the hope of a better future. And we're bringing people in because we know that you can have a better future, whether you're from here or you're not from here. But hey, we're citizens in that. Neither one of us are from this place, and we don't belong to this place. I think we adopt the mentality of one or the other, the kingdom colony or the country club. It's something to consider. Now, let me go back to last week's sermon. If you weren't here for last week's sermon, I gave you Austin's thought process of how I believe Scripture teaches that we become saved by our God. How does God save us? I referenced several steps in the process of conversion. that were pricked, were sparked, were moved by the message of Jesus. That's the cross. And then the Spirit will come and convict us based upon that message, convicting our hearts. And from that, we're led and taught by God's Word. And being taught by God's Word, we humble ourselves in submission and obedience to the Father. And because of that, from step 4 to step 5, we are baptized with the believer's baptism, which is the point in which God saves us. And today, I want to teach for just a few moments, step 6 and 7. What happens after the humbling and the obedience, a believer's baptism? God saves us in that point. We are raised to walk in newness of life, Colossians chapter 2 and Colossians chapter 3. What happens next? This is step 6 and 7. God adds you to His church, and then you identify with the local body. Here's why I believe that's the biblical case. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There are some phrases here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that I want to draw our attention to. And by the way, if you're looking at the bulletin, I've changed the sermon for this morning. I was going to preach a completely different sermon, and then I got an idea this morning that I had to preach. So, changed it completely. If you didn't know that I changed the sermon, you're not reading the bulletin. That's okay. If you read the bulletin, you need to know it's different. Here it is. This is an idea of what God does to us after we rise to walk in newness of life. And in 1 Corinthians, you see 11, 12, 14 multiple times. There are three phrases that's popped up in my Bible that I wanted to draw our attention to. And those phrases are, as a church, you are the body of Christ, and lowercase, the church. Now here's why that's significant. Because in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when thousands of people were added to their number, Acts chapter 2 verse 41, it says, and there that day, you know, the thousands were added to their number. Who were the there? What group of people are the there? It's the Christians. And not just the Christians of that local town, because that was the day of Pentecost. That was a traveling feast for people. And so those people were spread apart, and they were spread out in various different places. 13 or 14, maybe even 16 different places, Acts 2 indicates. So people from all over. And so the ones that were added to their body, the scattered group of people. So what are they? They, in Acts 2, are a representation, listen to me, of the universal church. That's the big universal group of Christians all across the world from all time. I believe that scripture indicates to us in verse 41 and verse 47. And in verse 47 it says, and God added to their number. God did the work of adding that Christian to that big universal body. That's God's work. You don't have a part in God's work. You don't have anything to do with God's work. When you meet Jesus' blood in the believer's baptism, when God forgives you, He gives you His Spirit, when He raises you up to walk in newness of life, you don't have a stake in it. God does it for you. That's the grace of God to you. It's the mercy of God down within you. And so God adds you to His universal body, and that's awesome to be part of that big group. Now here's something you do have a part in. That's number 7. You identify with a local body of believers. Now, this is the 1 Corinthians part. And it's important to understand that 1 Corinthians is a letter written to a church in a town. And so when you see these three phrases in chapters 11, 12, and 14, what you're hearing is a man of God teaching a group of Christians that you are a local body of Christ, members one of another. Look at the phrases in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18. The phrase says, for in the first place, when you come together, quote, as a church. And you can skip down to verse 33 even. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Did you hear that phrase? When you come together, drawing back on the verse 18 phrase, as a church. When you, as a local body, are coming together, can you come together with every Christian across the world for all time? Yes or no, church? Nope. As many people answer that question is as many people were reading the bulletin earlier. It's not many. No, you can't unite and you can't come together with the universal church. You can only gather together with your local body of Christ. So when you come together, this is the local body of believers. Now skip to chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. It makes it even more clear and specific. Paul writes to the Christians, Now you are the body of Christ, and individually, members of it. You, local Christians, are the body of Christ, universal Christians, and you are individually members of that universal group, but also, Corinthians, the local body group. I wanted to get that distinction clear and understood. There's a biblical design, a God design, for why we as Christians, when we become Christians, we identify and we place membership. We submit ourselves to the shepherding of the shepherds within the local body. Shepherds shepherd sheep. And when God makes you a sheep, you need to find a shepherd. And hopefully those shepherds are finding you. So we're going through 1 Corinthians. And there are multiple passages that we could read. Verse 28 of chapter 12. You can look all the way over into chapter 14, verse 4, where it talks about different gifts, interpretations, tongue-speaking prophecies. 1 Corinthians 4, verse, or chapter 14, verse 4 says, "The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up who? The church." And that's listed multiple times. Verse 4, verse 5, verse 12, verse 26, I've indicated it. You can take note of it, and you can study that later on this afternoon. That's what I believe the biblical model is. And that's why we place membership under the shepherding of local elders here. I wanted that to be understood. Because when you become a part, and now I'm speaking specifically to the Florence Boulevard Church of Christ. When you become a part, not just of the universal body of Christ, but the local group of believers here at Florence Boulevard. I mentioned a phrase earlier with country club and kingdom mentality. We adopt the mentality of one or the other. And you have a direct impact on the mentality that's present within the Florence Boulevard Church of Christ. I wanted to title the sermon, "The Mentality of the Membership." Because while you don't have a stake, and you don't have a work, and you don't put in effort to become part of the universal church, you absolutely have all the impact and all the influence on the mentality of the membership at Florence Boulevard. For better or for worse. Now I want to talk about this cruise that I went on in 2011. I'd never been on a cruise before. There are some people who frequent cruises here, and you know how awesome they are. And if you haven't been on one, let me tell you, it goes like this. You sleep, you wake up, and you eat as much as you possibly can. Then you go take another nap, and you wake up, and guess what you do? You eat as much as you possibly can. And then you go hear some people sing and make fools of themselves. And then you go eat more food and go to sleep again. Yeah, it's real. Cruise ship. Went on one in 2011. I'm not kidding you. I ordered two meals every single meal. It was amazing. See, here's what the workers on the cruise ships, here's what they do. Their entire premise is to make that cruise peaceful, calming, restful, and luxurious for you. Isn't that nice? To be in a place where everybody's looking for your comfort, working tirelessly for your rest, and all you have to do is sit back and take it in. It's nice. What's the difference between these two ships? Now, my grandfather flew fighter jets off of one of these. I've known other men who have served on these battleships. Would any of you say that there is any similarity to these two ships other than the fact that they both float on water? No. I made a compare and contrasting list. Let me give you the comparison list for the battleship and the cruise ship. Here's the comparison list. They float on water. All right, now let's move on to the contrasting list. The battleship. At its core, it exists for other people. The cruise ship. At its core, it exists exclusively for its passengers. The battleship is continually on rescue and protect missions for the people. The cruise ship is continually set out on a relaxation mission. The battleship must travel back and forth from friendly to enemy territory, fundamentally existing for other people. The cruise ship, as an individual, you're exclusively in friendly places, and you don't ever want to be bothered. The battleship, you battle for your commander and for the mission to which you devoted yourself, exclusively existing for others. The cruise ship, you exhaust yourself sunbathing out on a deck. The battleship, you go to work. And I don't mean to be rude. Or you step down and get out of the way. Cruise ship. I know that everybody's here for my rest and relaxation and comfort. I believe you as a member that you adopt the mentality of one of these two. If we want to create the kingdom colony, the Philippians 3 verse 24, our citizenship is in heaven and for it we wait and we long for it. If we want to adopt the Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 mentality of now, then, since you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, knowing that your home isn't here but it's up there. If we want to adopt and we want to spread the kingdom colony mentality of Ephesians 2:19, that we are members one of another, and the 1 John 2:15, 16, and 17, that we shouldn't love the world or anything in the world because the things of the world are passing away. If we want to adopt the kingdom colony mentality, we board a ship. Battleship or the cruise ship? One ship exists exclusively for others, constantly on rescue and protection missions, continually going to work day by day, battling for the commander. Understanding that sometimes I will be discomforted, knowing that the workers within this group, they aren't here for my pleasure and for my satisfaction, but we're on mission together because we've devoted ourselves to it together. Or we sell ourselves the lie that I'm a member of the country club. I pay my dues. I enjoy the benefits. Now I'm on a cruise ship, sitting back, told to rest, relax, and have comfort. Because really, you're here for me. What is your mentality? The final passage I want to take us to is back in 1 Corinthians 15. I think these verses clearly show us the mentality of the membership, and the contrast between the two. First man versus second man. First man is of the earth, second man is of the spirit. First man is lingering and contemplating and dwelling entirely on what's here. Second man realizes, I've died to what's here, and now I've been raised to think about what's coming up there. Starting in verse 47. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. Second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Paul is telling the local group of Christians, you have a choice to be the man of dust or the man of heaven. To dwell here on earth and focus on things of earth, or to dwell as a citizen of heaven on earth, focusing exclusively on the things of heaven and the eternity that God has in store for us. Which ship are you on? And what's your mentality? All I know is this. Jesus said, I have come not to be served, cruise ship, but to serve, battleship, and to give my life as a ransom for others. I want to hop on board Jesus. Do you? When we as a church entirely become consumed with the mentality of battleship, creating kingdom colony within the members here, what happens to us? We exist for others. We go on rescue missions. We don't leave it up to the workers to please and satisfy us, but we go to work or get out of the way. Jesus' church wasn't created to be a monument. It was created to be a movement. And it might be time for some of us to get moving. If we can help you in the move, and you've been moved, let us help you. Let it be known as we stand and sing together.